If I could sing unending songs, how you saved my soul, and I could dance a thousand miles, cause of your great love. I could sing unending songs, how you saved my soul, and I could dance a thousand miles, cause of your great love. My heart is bursting, Lord, to tell of all you've done, how you changed my life and wiped away my past. I want to shout it out from every rooftop, sing, for now I know God is for me, not against me. And I could sing unending songs, how you saved my soul, and I could dance a thousand miles, cause of your great love.
Good morning. Remain standing. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to be rejoicing and be glad in it, Father. We thank you for those who have come into this house with anticipation, with that anticipation of what God can do and what he is doing. He's doing miracles every day in our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for that. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, and I just pray that those who come in today that don't know him, they'll leave here a changed person, a person that knows him, a person that's uplifted, a person that's ready to go to work, because that's what we as Christians are to do. Lord, help us to express the love of Christ that it just oozes out of us as we leave this place today. And Lord, as we enter into this time of worship, let it be only for you. Not be looking at our watches, not be thinking about what they're cooking so good back there, but to get focused in on you, Father, and to praise your name this very day that you've made. In Jesus' name, amen. You kiddos, come on down. How you doing?
Good.
You see what I got? What is this? They may not can see it out there because they all got to wear glasses like me. They're old. Look at there. What is that? That's a needle. That's pine. That's pine needle. This week, I was pushing down big old, there comes two more, come on down. This week, I was pushing down some big old pine trees, and one of them slapped real close to my pickup, and this landed on the hood, real close to my little pickup. But that's okay, I make mistakes too. And that pine needle landed on my hood, so I thought, you know what, that'd be a good thing for me to talk to you kiddos about. Now, before this hit my hood, that pine tree, how tall are pine trees? They're real tall, right? Very tall, 50 foot tall, 60 foot tall, some of them. And I tell you, what's really neat about it is I want to read that verse to you. Verse 10 of chapter 8 of Nehemiah. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions of those whom nothing is prepared. For this is the day this day is holy to our Lord. Don't sorrow, for the joy, hey, look here, the joy, look there, of the Lord is what? Is your strength. Now, you know what's really cool about them big old pine trees? In the mornings, they were standing real straight and big and tall. But as the day, the winds blew, they would move, right? Y'all ever seen a pine tree move? Yeah, and they sway in the wind. And sometimes they sway 10, 15 feet one way or another. Why? Because they're strong. They don't snap. And they bend whenever things of the world come upon him like the winds. And you in your life need to be like that strong pine tree. And that joy of the Lord be your strength in everything you do. And don't let those Jareds come along like the devil does and try to knock you down. Okay? Be strong and be tall like a big pine and let it sway in the wind so you can be strong for the Lord and show your strength to the world. And guess what? People will be drawn to that and they'll see the joy in your life, okay? Us folks as adults, we need to be stronger too, don't we? There's times where when we get to bend a little bit, that's okay. But don't snap off and break when the pressures of the world come. And don't let them Jareds with their track hose tear you down, because that's what the devil wants to do. Don't let the devil's tracko come upon you and push you over. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you so much for the simple things in life that show us about your goodness and how we can remain strong in you, Father. Help us to be like those tall pines, to withstand the winds and the wiles of the things of this world, to stay true to you and keep growing up and up towards you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To Canaan's land. Well, I'm on my way where the soul of man never died. My darkest night will turn to day where the soul of man never died. No sad farewell, no tear dimmed eyes, where all is joy and love, and the soul of man never dies. The roses blooming there for me, where the soul of man never dies. And I will spend eternity where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dimmed eyes, where all is peace and joy and love, and the soul of man never dies. Yeah! Light beams across the foam where the soul of man never dies. It shines and lights the way to home where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewell, no tears. The soul of man never dies. No friends there will be, no sad farewells, no tears, no tear dimmed eyes, where all is peace and joy and love, and the soul of man never dies, and the soul.
At this time, I think we're going to call Sam up to, this is the day we chose to honor our veterans.
All right. Good morning. And we want to recognize our veterans. We want to thank our veterans You know, this church is really good about recognizing them, and I very much appreciate that. They've done a lot for our country. Some have given everything for us. But having said that, gentlemen, present the colors.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, oh, the so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
gentlemen, post the colors. All right, thank you very much. Everybody, you can be seated. We're going to go ahead and recognize the different branches now. So as your service song plays, we'd like for you to stand for that. So, Barbara, when you're ready. The United States Army. The United States Navy. The United States Air Force. The few, the proud, the United States Marines. And last but not least, the United States Coast Guard. See, we didn't forget about you, Mickey. The United States Space Force.
This is a good day to worship the Lord. Help us worship Him this morning. Worship from your heart.
Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn His face toward you and give you peace.
Your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within.
Something. I asked her to sing this song. We done it here a while back. But I've been listening to this song in the mornings because the name of Jesus can dispel fear, can dispel anxiety.
Yes.
It can dispel darkness.
That's right.
When you don't know what else to say, say the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When the enemy is bigger than any mountain you've ever faced, say the name of Jesus. This song I asked her to sing today because this has just been reverberating in my mind. I speak Jesus. When you don't know what else to say, just say Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Shadows burn like a fire. out Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus from the mountains, sing it, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
God's working on somebody's heart right now. All of us is. But somebody, I'm telling you, somebody in here, God's wanting to deal with you this morning. Just relax in the Father. Let Him have His way.
You were the Word at the beginning.
Name it is the name of Jesus.
death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bones of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a power. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Good morning. He is worthy, amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Come on. He is a great God and worthy of our praise. When we look at our culture in America today and things that we go through in this nation, you ever wonder why the bad things happen to good people? Why is that? Why, I got this question, why do we as Christians think we're immune to bad things happening to us? If we never go through the hard things, we can never truly know how great God is. Because God has promised us this, and here's why it is so important, and I'm going to preach this till the day I die. It is so important that you as individuals know the Word of God. Not just know the God of the Word, but to know the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, you'll know the God of the Word. And you'll learn to trust the God of the Word the more you learn of Him. Why did Jesus, if knowing the Word ain't important, why did He tell us in the Gospels to take my yoke upon you and learn of me? A yoke is what brings two things together. And when you take a yoke and you see two oxen put together, now I'd hate to be the dude that took two fresh ox that had never seen a yoke before and team them up and try to go plow you a garden with it. We'd be having to go, Houston, we have a problem. But the yoke that you and me are to take is the yoke with Jesus. He wants to be yoked with you so you can know how to fight life's battles. None of us are immune to the battles that go on in our culture. We're not immune to that. We need to not think that, well, it ain't bothering me. That's what's wrong with our political system. We've looked at it too long and going, man, that ain't bothering me. Not yet it ain't, but it's fixing to get real. And when it starts getting real with us, then we start wondering this question, God, where are you? Why would God let that happen? If you knew the God of the Word, you'd know the God of life. We are not immune to the things that go on and things that happen. We're not immune to that just because we're a Christian. The problem is,
Not people are not faithful enough to him. That's what's wrong. We wonder what's going on in Israel. We're watching it. Folks march around here in our homeland and want to fight for the Palestinians. Abolish Israel. That's the big deal today. Abolish Israel. Destroy Israel. Every bit of this, if we know the Word of God, it's in here. It's right here. Every bit of it. What we're seeing go on today, it's right here. Written over 2,000 years ago, way before that it started being written, from the beginning of time to now. And God's wanting to write your story. And the only way he can write your story is, and you believe in who that God is to start trusting in him and start knowing him and start knowing more of his word. It's why I wrote the book I wrote, Life's Full Circle. My story ain't over yet. He's not through with me. He's not through with you. The problem with the evangelical Christian community, too many got their ticket punched and they sit down and waiting. And God didn't call us to wait. He called us to go. He called us to go into all the world and to be a light and to shine and bless people. What God called us to was a life of servanthood, and the reason we don't see that being fulfilled today is because we're not faithful to the Word. But when all looks like all is gone, and Jesus, where are you? Lord, where are you? Can you imagine how people felt when he hung on the cross and then he died? It's over. Are we faithful when it seems our life is in a bad place? Did it excuse the people from being faithful when Jesus was now dead, hanging on a cross? When everything can go wrong, it goes wrong. The earth shook. The clouds, it was dark, it was black. He's gone, it's over. Where's Jesus? Some of you wondering that today. Where is he? Where is he in my life? And I want to share a story with you this morning from Luke chapter 23. I'm going to start here in verse 50. Luke 23, verse 50. It'll be on the big screen there for you too. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their concession or deeds. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus told them over and over, the kingdom of God is at hand. I got a word for you today. The kingdom of God is at hand. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. In verse 52, it says, this man went to Pilate. And I'm going to point out a very deep thought as we walk through this scripture right here. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And then he took it. Everybody say it. He asked for the body of Jesus and he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that had been hewed out of a rock where no one had been laid before. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. I want to point out to you that he took the body of Jesus, and he took it. Did not say he took Jesus. Because Jesus was very busy at this very moment. He was in the heart of the earth robbing hell of the keys of torment that torment your life, and you've got to remain faithful if you want to be set free. But where were all the people that Jesus had done so much for? Where were the lepers that Jesus had cleansed? Out of all the lepers Jesus cleansed, only one said thank you. Where was the blind? Where were they at? Where were the ones that wanted this Jesus that believed so much in him? The one that when he fed the multitude, where was the multitude that had seen this awesome Jesus do what he done? Where were they when it seemed to be a dark hour? Where were they? I don't know. But there's a lot of whys in this life. Why did everybody turn their back? Why did the 12 disciples scatter? Because they wasn't equipped at that moment to be faithful. What do you mean, Pastor? Jesus told them, I'm going to send a comforter to you. And he's the Holy Ghost. And he will lead you and he will guide you in all truth. If you're going to be led and guided in the truth, you have to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. All of this is the Word of God. But where is everybody at when Jesus is in his darkest moment? But here comes a man that was part of the council that was making the decision that said, no, Jesus don't need to go to this cross. I want you to flip over with me now to John chapter 19. I'm going to read another take from this right here in verse 38 through 40. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, look who he was. He became a believer of Jesus. But secretly, the day he took Jesus' body off that cross, it was no longer a secret. Are you hearing me? The challenge today is, Christians, stop living in secret. Be faithful. You want the blessings of God? You want the power of God to fill your city? Be faithful. Be faithful. Watch where we go here. He done it secretly, for fear of the Jews. Ask Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. And so he came and took the body of Jesus and Nicodemus. Now, do you remember Nicodemus? John chapter 3. He came to Jesus by night. He's a religious leader. He is a ruler of the religious people. And here he comes, and he's going, we know you got to be a teacher come from God, because no man can do the things that you do except God be with him. Let me tell you something, church. The reason we don't see the miracles of God today is because we're not with God. We're not been faithful. And God is calling us to a place of faithfulness. But here's Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, also bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as a custom of the Jews is to bury. Both of these men had an encounter with Jesus that redirected their hearts. All the people, we want all the blessings that God can do for us externally. Bless me with a new job. Bless, you ever get that new job? People get their new job. Man, if I can just get that job. 6 months later, they hate that job. They hate that grind, that responsibility, that accountability. Man, if it's just too rough, it's more than what I wanted. Being a Christian is going to cost you something. In fact, it's supposed to cost us our very life. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, not the cross of Jesus, not go run to that cross. You take up your cross. The cross will do the same thing that it did for Jesus. It brought him public humiliation. It brought him pain. It brought him agony. And it eventually brought his death. The cross is a place of crucifixion. Dying to yourself, Paul describes it as a lifelong process because he said we die daily. But when we just wait on God and we wonder where God is and we wonder, you can even give up on God. I'm mad at God. It's easy to get mad at God when you don't know the Word. When we don't make that a responsibility, when we don't make His Word a priority, it's easy to get mad at God and give up on God. But I'm telling you, when I look at this culture today and I hear the words that they want to abolish Israel, I get excited because it makes this Word true. Am I excited they want to abolish Israel? No. I'm not excited that these wars are going on? No. But all of this happens because of the rebellion. Everything we're seeing in our culture is because of a rebellion against God for years. Every bit of it. Everything we see in this country, in our nation, it's a rebellion against God for years. Watch what goes on when we start embracing homosexuality and call it the church. That is a rebellion against the Word of God. Again, if you know the Word of God, you'll know the God of the Word. And you'll know that these things are an abomination unto God. Not just homosexuality, heterosexual sins too. What has happened to the faithfulness of a people to the Father of life? Both of these men had an encounter that redirected their hearts and it changed their direction. But where was all the other ones? The lepers that had been cleansed, the blind, that the lame that had been made walk. Why didn't any of these show up to take part in blessing the body of Christ? What every believer needs to understand today is right where you are. As an individual, I want to talk to you. Right where you are in life is right where God will use you for His body. You may look and go, man, you just don't know where I'm at. I'm telling you right now. This is what I love about God. God don't love us in our sin and leave you there. He loves you out of it. And when you turn more to Him, when you trust more in Him, when you seek more of Him, and then God begins to move on your behalf. May not nobody else begin to see what's going on in your life, but you recognize it as something beyond yourself. That's what's happened in my life. It's what will give you the boldness to speak His Word, to proclaim His righteousness, to proclaim His holiness. Church, I can't say it enough. The Word of God tells us to be holy, for He is holy. We can't ask God to bless my life, bless me right where I'm at, bless me right here, and just keep staying where you are. That's not what God wants to do. God wants to bring delivering power into your life. There's no other way to proclaim His righteousness than to be delivered from something. Amen? But where was all the ones that had... Where was all of this? And why does good things happen to bad people? I want to share this one with you. John 16, 32 and 33. This is what Jesus said. Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered. Each one his own will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. And verse 33 says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And this is what we got to understand. We are not immune to bad things happening to us. We are not immune to anything wrong going wrong with us. But we have to know we're an overcomer when we trust Jesus. Do you remember Job? Job had it all going on. He was a rich man, had everything going on. And then here come the devil, and the Lord and the devil had a talk, and I'm going to paraphrase it. And he says, "What you up to?" He said, "I'm just going about seeking whom I'll devour, who I can devour." And he says, "But what about, well, have you tried my faithful servant Job?" He said, "Yeah, you got a hedge around him." He said, "I'll remove that hedge." Here's God now. You know what we're looking at in the world today is a hedge removed. And the hedge is removed from the world today because of unfaithfulness to the Father. But here Job was, and Job, God said, "I'll let you take everything from him but his life." Why do bad things happen to good people? Here's you a biblical example. And when all the things started happening to Job, he lost his wealth, he lost his livestock, he lost his children to death. His wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He said, "You speak as a foolish woman." His friends come and said, "Job, what sin have you committed against God?" And he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Why do bad things happen to good people? Are we ready for the trouble that's really coming? Because we ain't seen nothing yet, church. And the Bible tells us that many, the love of many will grow cold. And they'll turn on each other. We ain't seen nothing yet. But we have to be faithful to this Jesus that was busy while it seemed to be over. He was busy in the heart of the earth grabbing the keys that is trying to take you captive today. He's got the keys. Satan don't have them anymore. Here's your good news. But it can only be open to those who will be faithful to him and honor him in this world and in this life. What is important today and in this hour is that his followers continue to be faithful to him. I want to share this over in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to read verse 3 through 8 right here. Listen to this. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him." Why are we going through what we're going through? Man, let's be ashamed. "He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken." But who's going to declare him to this generation? It's got to be you and me. We got to be found faithful, because when we read this word, we understand that we're going to go through some hard things. Amen. We're going to go through some hard things. Proverbs. I'm going to share this with you out of Proverbs 3, 1 through 11. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the table of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There is heavy instruction for us to fear the Lord. What is fear? It is having a wholesome dread of displeasing him. I don't want to displease my God. When Jesus was tested, when he walked this earth, and the religious leaders came to him and they go, why are you doing this? Why? And it was funny how they did it, because they always went to his disciples mainly. If it was about him, they went to his disciples. It's kind of how church people do today. They'll go to somebody else and not the person they really have hatred for, which is one of them things that God's got the key to, is your hatred. He will loose you and set you free from it if you confess it and surrender it to him. But you can't turn away from hatred when all you want to do is hate. You can't turn to forgiveness when all you want to do is be unforgiven. But when Jesus would do all of what he's doing, they go to his disciples. Why does your master do this? Why does, and Jesus would go, he says, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. What you and me need to understand today is God is looking for the faithful few who is going to surrender to his will and be faithful to his will and do what he's called us to do, and that is be a light, because the kingdom of God is at hand today, my friend. Trouble is around us everywhere. This world is in trouble, but God is faithful to the faithful. God is faithful to the faithful, and he's looking to pour out his blessings. Look here in verse 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And many of us today, we wonder, I can't give. I can't afford to tithe. I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. If you're not a tither and you don't honor God with the first fruits of your finances, you're cheating yourself out of the blessings of God. And I'm not saying you get to give. We should be getting. We should be giving to get from the Father. We don't give to get, we get to give. And what we do, you may never see a financial increase, but do you want to see the kingdom of God blessed? I'm going to tell you right now, friend, when you begin to honor God with your first fruits, that's the first act of our obedience, is our financial giving. I can say that because I'm one of them. I do tithe. And when we don't honor God in our tithing and in our giving, it's no one, we wonder, man, I just ain't got enough. I don't know why. I can't afford to. The reason you can't afford to is because we're not being faithful. The reason we can't afford to get up and do things for Jesus is because we're not being faithful. When we begin to be faithful, I'm going to tell you what, you can't give from an empty cup. You have to give from a place of overflow in your life. And the only way you overflow is through surrender, so God can fill your life with the life from the throne room of God. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it's at hand right now. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise. Look here in verse 11. He said, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. What is the chastening? That's when your granny got to chasing you around the house with a hickory switch. And then my granny got mad because she couldn't catch me and called my mama and says she is chasing that boy. And then you got whipped three times. And don't make them chase you. We don't have to go through the chastening of the Lord if we just surrender. You know what? We look and go, man, I can't afford, I can't give. I can't do. That's why. You're running from God with it. What do you want God to bless? I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to share this one with you. Stop looking for the external blessings of value. That's what the lepers had, was the external blessing. Do you remember the woman at the well that had five husbands, and Jesus went out of his way to meet the Samaritan woman at the well, and when he met her at the well, he said, go call your husbands to come here. She said, I don't have no husbands, Lord. He said, you've well said you don't have no husband, but you've had five. Now, you can think of a woman there that some bad thoughts is in her mind, probably walking up to that well feeling empty, undone, unholy, unclean, unloved, unworthy. Nothing good going on in her life and in her mind because she's trapped by a past of sin. And in that moment, Jesus met her at that well, and she went back and changed an entire region. Why? She became just like Joseph and just like Nicodemus. She began to change a region because Jesus had done something inside of her, not external. Give me, give me, give me. Let me have, give me. I'm going to tell y'all something about give me. He died right out there in the road. He got run over by a car. God ain't given nothing to unfaithfulness. God will honor the faithful, and it's not a give and get. It is that we're given to the kingdom, even of ourselves. You want to see God make a difference in this house? Let's make this house about these kids coming in here and about these young families coming in here, and let's bless a generation with the power of God to overcome the evil that's settling in this world by living a life of overcoming power in your own life and sowing that into generations that need some help today, that need some hope today, that need some encouragement today, that need some power today. Let them see the power of God in your life. Surrender to the Father and live faithful and watch what He begins to do. We don't overcome evil with evil. And what we're seeing in this world today and all the wars, it is literally good and evil. We've seen it in our own political system. It's good and evil. Point blank, period, circle, circle, dot, dot. It is not a political Democrat and Republican problem. It's a good and evil problem. There's evil on both sides of it too. And I believe we got a good Speaker of the House right now too. Here's my commercial. It ain't part of my notes. And he's upsetting the apple cart because he's referring to the Word of God. We cannot escape that this nation was founded on this right here. It was founded on this right here because the same oppression that we're seeing and the tyranny that we're seeing today in America, the men that founded this nation that stood for this right here, these men got into this word and saw the freedom of Almighty God, and it don't come from a government, it comes from the throne room of God, and it comes from faithfulness, and it comes from honor. And I challenge you, I beg you, go read about the prayer in Pennsylvania where they prayed and laid in the floor and wrote our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. But Isaiah says this. I'm going to finish this part up right here. 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. I done read that part. I'm sorry. Let's go to Proverbs 20, 5 and 6. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw out of it. What God is wanting to put inside each and every one of us, and it comes right out from this word. When God begins to do great things in your life, when He begins to do great things in your life, wisdom starts being created in the heart. Watch in verse 6. He said, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 says, let a man so consider us as a servant of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. That's what He's calling each and every one of us to be. Servants of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Psalms 31, 23 through 24. Love the Lord, all you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, and all you who hope in the Lord. We got to stop looking for external blessings of value and recognize the value of the life of Jesus and that life that He has placed in your heart. Value to bless others. Value to be a part of His body. His body, look around this room. Just take just a few seconds and look around this room. You are looking at what God wants to be His body. Not a body torn and ripped apart because of unforgiveness, hate, strife, offended, but a body united through surrender to the Father. That's the only way. But He wants to put value to us to be a part of His body, a body of believers, value to bless His church because you realize you're part of it. That's what you got to do in your heart of hearts. You got to realize I'm part of His body. When my brother hurts, when my sister hurts, we need to hurt with them. What do you expect God to bless? I want to ask this as I ask Wayne to come. What do you expect God to bless? Do you only want Him to bless what you ask Him to bless? Lord, I need you to bless this. I need you to bless my car. I need you to bless my dog. I need you to bless this. I need you to bless. We want all the external things. Don't you know we spend more time praying for external things than we do internal things? And when we begin to surrender to God in our heart, we'll seek God for things of heavenly value. But do you want God to bless just what you ask Him to bless? Or do you want Him to bless what you're obedient to? Because God can only bless obedience. That's all He will bless is obedience. That's why we look at this world and see all this uncertainty that this world, I'm telling you, Americans, city of Athens, the reason there's so many uncertainties in this world is because there's been a lot of disobedience to the Father of life. And here Joseph was, a man that was part of the trial of Jesus and one that said he does not deserve to go to that cross. He did not concede to their deeds. And he and Nicodemus finally come out of the closet and say, we want the body of Jesus. The only ones I'm going to tell you today, I don't know what this world looks like to you. And if you're thinking, man, there ain't no hope, what are we going to do? What's our future look like? If you want to know, I ain't worried about the future. I'm worried about eternity. Eternity's got to be what we start thinking on, Christians. The people of God has got to begin to think on eternity in Christ Jesus. And our eternity is out of this world. It ain't part of it. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to dwell in it with Him. But only to the faithful. Y'all stand with me. And as the band begins to play, I want to challenge you where you are. What are you needing from Him today? Internally. Don't seek the things of value, earthly value. Why did He tell us, don't lay up treasure for yourself on this earth where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal? Why do we put more value on that than what's going on in our heart? I want to challenge you today. Surrender and be faithful to the Father of life. Surrender to Him and be faithful. As the band plays, if you need to pray, come on. If you've never made Jesus your Savior, I want to pray with you. God's got a great plan for each and every one of us, but it takes a life of obedience. God, today I ask you for your strength, your love, your mercy to overflow in this house and overflow in every heart. I pray, God, for your strength, for your purpose to be found in us as we seek you today and give you the praise you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.